Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our guide, your spirit our teacher, and your supreme glory our greatest desire. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen. In the path I took to become a Christian, there are various people who are involved. I made a commitment to faith when I was around about 18. I was 18. And lots of people along the way, though, had said things to me which made a difference. I can think of a number of them. A couple, a lady called Mrs. Martin to me, because she was a teacher. She's an RE teacher. And in my homework, she would write things in red pen in the margins, which are actually things about Jesus. So she wrote once on something I'd written, "No, David, it's by grace we've been saved through faith." I'm telling you that when you trust in Jesus, it's not about the things you do, because I was saying how much I wanted to earn my way to heaven, how if I was as good as I possibly could be, maybe that way Jesus would receive me. And she wrote, "No, it's by grace we've been saved." In other words, getting to heaven is not about us climbing a ladder of achievements, but it's about God graciously opening the door for us and us receiving that by trusting in Jesus. So what a great thing to write. Just a few words in a margin got me thinking, whoa, changing the way I thought. She was a cog in that process. Think of someone else, a guy called James. And James, he lived in a room just down the corridor from me at university. And he was a second year, I was a first year. And he took me along to the Christian Union and to church and became a great friend. And it was just by doing that and being there when I turned up for those things that it meant that I heard the message of Jesus put all together for the first time. So it's fantastic to have those people in my life. And maybe you can think of people in your life like that, if you're trusting in Jesus along the way. Or maybe you've been that person to someone else, and you can think of something you said, or they've told you later, years later, "Oh, you said this to me, and it made such a lot of difference." Well, this is the kind of thing we're thinking about today. We're looking together, we're in a series looking at the Christian Toolkit. The idea is that as we turn to Christ, there are things we can do to follow him and live for him. If you have an electrician around to your house, you want him to have a toolkit with all the right stuff in it. And he opens his bag up and you hope that he's got a multimeter in there, and a screwdriver and a pair of pliers and that sort of thing, wire clippers and all that sort of stuff. And if he hasn't, send him away, because how is he going to fix your electrics without them? Well, as a Christian, what have we got in our toolkits? How do we live for Jesus? What's missing? Again, none of these things are on that ladder. There isn't a ladder to get us right with God because of Jesus. It's grace. He's opened the door for us and invites us through. But once we've gone through that door and we're trusting in him and we've received his forgiveness and the life that he gives freely, how do we live for him? It's in the Christian Toolkit. And we've seen so far, reading the Bible, hearing him speak to us, praying, we talk to him, and ask him for things, tell him how great he is. Serving, we live our lives doing stuff for him and in his name, copying Jesus. Giving, last time we saw about that. And today, it's all about sharing the good news. Sharing the good news, God's good news. And every one of us who trusts in Jesus has got a part to play in this. And maybe you're someone here today and you're not yet trusting in Jesus, and you come along because of baptism maybe, or some other reason. Listen in and hear why it is that people who trust in Jesus are so keen to share that with other people. Lots of people have objections, don't they, to that happening. So some people say, "What right have you got to impose your ideas on someone else? Or on me?" Other people say, "Well, isn't their God just as good as your God? What's the difference?" Some people say, "Well, I don't say anything because friends will think I'm an idiot if I do." Others say, "I'm not capable. I can't say the right words. I can't explain it well enough." Well, Jesus himself has given his disciples, his followers, a great commission. It's there in that passage we had read to us earlier on. It's the last three verses from verses 18 to 20. And that's what we're going to look at together. And we're going to discover that servants of the king have a global mandate to bring people to Christ with his help. Servants of the king have a global mandate to bring people to Christ with his help. So first of all then, servants of the king. Servants of the king. If you're talking about someone who's trusting in Jesus, then you're a servant of the king. King Jesus. You know, and you trust in, you live for, the one who is the King of Kings. He's not like an ordinary earthly king. We heard this week, didn't we, that the Dutch king flies airliners half-time. What a brilliant thing to do. Cool. But Jesus is better than that. The Dutch king has a temporary kingship in one place. Jesus' kingship is across time, everywhere. We're servants of the King. Have a look at verse 18. This is right at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. And what's happened is that Jesus is risen from the dead. And Matthew tells us about the last time he meets his disciples before he goes back to heaven. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Well, it couldn't be much clearer, could it? All authority, that's the ability to lead, to decide what happens, to say this is right and that is wrong, to govern. All authority in heaven and on earth, so in every part of the creation, the bits we can see, the things we can't see or measure with a thermometer or an oscilloscope. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. We're servants of the King. Jesus is supreme over all. So some people say, don't they, isn't their God as good as your God? And we want to say, well, what about Muhammad? Does he have authority? And we see here that Jesus has got all authority in heaven and on earth. So Muhammad doesn't have authority over Jesus. What about the Buddha? Does he have some kind of authority? Well, again, Jesus says, I have got all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So Jesus got authority over that person as well. Stephen Fry, what about that? Him. Jesus says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. Or Richard Dawkins, or you name somebody who wants to stand up against the Lord Jesus. Jesus is King. And just notice, right at the end of the passage, Jesus says this is to the very end of the age. So it's not that someone later can come along and say, well, actually, no, I've got a new message, and I'm actually better than Jesus, and I've had this new revelation. No, Jesus says this is to the very end of the age. So as long as earth and heaven are existing, before Jesus returns and brings a new creation, he has got all authority in heaven and on earth. We're servants of the King. It's amazing, isn't it? So as we go out and seek to share Jesus with other people, that's who we serve. That's who we're talking about. What a privilege. In the civil service, one of the greatest roles you can aspire to is that of being ambassador. It really is the top of the tree for civil servants, diplomats. Ambassador. And someone like, I imagine, ambassador to America will be very important. And why is that? Because you're going there in the name of the Queen and Her Majesty's government and representing her. What a privilege. And we are ambassadors for the King. What a great privilege. And yet still people say to us, you have no right to impose your views on anyone. You have no right to impose your views on anyone. The word impose presupposes that we're going to force what we believe on people. And that's not something that Jesus wants us to do. Here's a verse from Peter's first letter, 1 Peter 3:15. He says, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So there's another instruction, rather like the Great Commission. Let's be ready to give an answer. But, says Peter, do this with gentleness and respect. So we're not talking about imposing. Imposing sounds like there's some threat of force, or that we won't shut up when the person has said, no, sorry, I really don't want to know. No, gentleness and respect. So let's delete the impose word. But what about your views? Impose, goodness, I've lost it, never mind. You have no right to impose your views on anyone. Well, let's think about your views. Because there are two kinds of views. Let's think about truth. There are two kinds of truth. There's public truth and there's private truth. So public truth, something that's true for everyone. Private truth, something that's just true for you and me. So private truth is something like, isn't Marmite delicious? See, you disagree. Some of you agree with me. Yes, Marmite is wonderful. You can't think of anything better than Marmite on white toast with butter. Oh, and some of you are almost vomiting. It's a private truth. It's true for me, Marmite is delicious, but it might not be true for you. Okay, that's one kind of truth. Here's another. Public truth. George Gilbert Scott was the architect behind St Pancras Railway Station. Well, there you go, isn't that interesting? He was. George Gilbert Scott designed St Pancras Railway Station. It was the pinnacle of his achievements, he said. So if you go and look at St Pancras and you see the amazing columns and everything outside, it's all his fault, George Gilbert Scott. Now that's public truth. It's true for me. It's true for you as well. It's just true. You know, you might say, well, I have to think that Martin Davey, the curate here, designed St Pancras. And we'd like to say, are you mad? And we'd be right to say that, because you'd have to be. Because it's public truth that George Gilbert Scott did that. I'm sure Martin would make a lovely job of designing a railway station. But he didn't do it on this occasion. Now, this gets even more complicated because there are two kinds of public truth. So at the moment we've got private and public truth. Private is Marmite, public is things that are out there. But there's two kinds of public truth because some of it matters. So there's interesting or vital public truth. Okay, some is just interesting. So the architect stuff, that's interesting. Makes no effect on your life. You could live your life just as well if Martin had designed St Pancras. It would be a little bit more awkward when you got there to try and get on a train and everything. But life could go on. That's interesting. But vital truth is different. So, for example, let's imagine that the church centre was on fire. It isn't, okay? But imagine that it is, okay? Someone comes rushing in. There's a fire. That's public truth, and it's vitally important, especially if you're a parent, if your children are out there. So you'd leg out there, you'd do something because of it, it would make you act. And if someone says, oh, you have no right to impose your view on me, you say, shut up, it's a fire. So there we go. Private, public truth, and public is interesting and vital. So let's try it on Marmite, Gilbert Scott, and this building is on fire. Marmite is delicious, I say. Someone says to me, you have no right to impose that view on me. And I go, you could try it. Doesn't really matter very much. Okay, let's try another one. George Gilbert Scott designed St Pancras Railway Station. You have no right to impose that view on me. Well, it's just true, isn't it? He did. Okay, let's try the other one. Fire, get out. You have no right to impose that view on me. No, it's a fire, get out. You have no right to... I'm going to impose a fire and I'm going to have a building. So really, the statement, you have no right to impose your view on me, only works with Marmite, and even then it's a bit odd. What about the good news of Jesus? What about the good news of Jesus? What is it? Is it private or public? Is it interesting or vital? It's public news, isn't it? That Jesus, public truth, that Jesus lived, he was real. It's in the history books, it's true. That he died and rose again. And it's vital, it's not just interesting. And we're servants of the King. As we want to share the good news of Jesus, this is who we're talking about. Public news, public truth, that is vital for people. Servants of the King, King of Kings. Servants of the King have a global mandate. Have a global mandate. So, Jesus says, verse 18, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. All authority in heaven on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. All nations. So, all of heaven on earth, all nations. The one in charge of the universe says to his followers, everybody needs to hear. So, not just the people who lived around Jerusalem in the first century, or in Europe, today, or people of a certain colour of skin. No, Jesus' message is for everybody, across time and across the world. All people. We've got a global mandate. There's two important questions to ask about this. First of all, who is the commission for in the first place? Because if there's a global mandate, it's important who it's given to, this mandate. Let's see. So, Jesus says to these 11 disciples, verse 16, the 11 disciples went to Galilee. One has dropped off, that's Judas, because he betrayed Jesus. All authority has been given to me Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So there are two clues there that it's more than just 11. One is all nations. It's a bit hard for 11 people to do all nations. And the other is the end of the age. It's a bit hard for 11 people to last that long. And so it's clear that, yes, this is for those 11 disciples initially, but as they spread the message and make more disciples, every other person they add, so that group of people trusting in Jesus, gets that commission, that mandate as well. So who's it for? Every believer. And secondly, who should we not share the good news with? Is there anyone, any group excluded? Jesus said, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. That's everyone. No one is excluded. No one is excluded. Is anyone in Morden excluded? No. Anyone in your office or your former school? No. Anyone you meet? No, they're not excluded. And we might say, well, isn't their God as good as mine? And we've already seen, haven't we, that Jesus has authority, all authority in heaven and earth. So servants of the King have a global mandate to bring people to Christ. To bring people to Christ. Here's what we've been asked to do. Verse 19. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Baptizing and teaching, making disciples. The word disciple just means someone who is a follower of a teaching of somebody. So in this case, disciples of Jesus are those who follow his teaching. There's a bit more to that than them, because in order to do that, you have to turn from your previous life and living for yourself and for the world, and turn to Jesus and ask him for forgiveness and live for him as Lord. So they're following Jesus, disciples. Anyone who becomes a Christian today and trusts in Jesus, they're a disciple. And they're to make more. Two things are talked about, baptism and teaching. Baptism and teaching. So baptism, my guitar man. Baptism and teaching. It's a bit like if you want to share the guitar with someone, you know, I like playing the guitar. Maybe I want you to play the guitar. So I say, yo, go and buy a guitar. Oh, what guitar should I get? Oh, well, cheap one in Asda. Start with that. Asda. Argos. Start with that cheap guitar in Argos. And off they go and buy the guitar, and then I leave them alone. No, of course not. I say, all right, you've got your guitar. Oh, here. Here's how you tune it. Here's some chords you can play. Let's get together and play a song together. And it goes on like that. So you might say to your friend, get the guitar, but then you help your friend to learn to play the guitar, and you do it and enjoy it together. And it's like that with Christians. We say to someone, turn to Jesus, and then we get alongside them. We want to help them to live for Jesus. So baptizing and teaching. And baptism is about conversion. It's about someone who wasn't a follower, a believer, becoming a follower. And when someone hears about Jesus, they're called to repent and believe, to turn around. Trust. So that's what baptism is a symbol of. And we had that this morning, didn't we, with Freddie and Alfie. And for them, because they're children, their parents are taking a lot of responsibility of that and saying, well, we're believing in Jesus and we're going to help them to grow into those promises. Baptizing. And then teaching. Helping someone to grow in what they know about Jesus, what they understand about him, by reading the Bible together and coming to church together, to the group of Christians, wherever that is, and learning to live for him because he's Lord. And so we're involved in a rescue mission, basically, as we share the good news with people. As servants of the King have a global mandate to bring people to Christ. It's a rescue mission. We say to people, turn to Jesus. It's like turning from darkness to light, from death to life, from slavery to freedom. Be reconciled to God. And then we say, join with us in a lifetime of learning. Learning from Jesus, about Jesus, in a relationship with Jesus. We want to bring people to Christ. And we want to do it with his help. With his help. Very last line of the passage. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus isn't just going to leave us to it on our own. And in other places in the Bible, we know that the way he's with us is by God the Holy Spirit. So he's with us in our lives as we share the good news. And so who does this? Well, it's something we can all do together as a body, isn't it? As members of a local church together. Some of us are better than others, so some will stick up at front and we'll say, you share the message, or they're great at bringing people in. But we all have a part to play. That's part of the whole idea of being a body, isn't it? Some of us, in the illustration of being a body, some are like a hand or an eye or a foot, but you need a hand and you need an eye and you need a foot to work together. Some of us are great maybe at designing a poster. Some of us can do stuff on social media. Some of us might just be able to knock on a door or something. We'll all do it all together. So what can we do as individuals maybe as well? Well, you can make friends and keep friends. Friends who don't yet know the Lord Jesus, and gently and with respect, carefully help them to think sometimes about him. We can learn to speak some outline of the gospel so we can explain Jesus to people. Out on the bookstore, I don't know if it's still there, but it was earlier, Know and Tell the Gospel by John Chapman. Maybe one of the 9 o'clockers bought it after my recommendation. But that's a great book to tell you how you can start to think of how to say the right words. We can pray for our friends. Why not get a piece of paper or a card? Write down the name of 5 friends and stick it in the back of your Bible. And pray for them every day. Pray that they come to know Jesus. That you'd have a chance to chat with them. That maybe they'd ask you questions or something like that. They'd be interested. But we can invite people. We've got lots of stuff happening here. We've got our men's curry night, ladies' craft morning. We've got a family fun day coming up in July. Other things. Could bring them to church. Why not? We give someone a gospel, one of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We've got copies of those in the bookstore. All these are things we can do as individuals, to play our part as a whole body, to share the good news with Jesus' help to the very end of the age. So will you make sure that sharing the good news of Jesus is in your toolkit? As you open up that bag, what's in there? A multimeter won't be very useful as a Christian, but what's really helpful will be sharing the good news of Jesus. Maybe there's some action to take this morning following this service. As you go home, maybe you need to pray a bit and confess to Jesus your mistaken ideas. Perhaps you're of the mind that we shouldn't impose our ideas on someone else. And you see, actually, that's silly. This is public truth that's vital. Perhaps you want to pray about that. What else could you do? Perhaps you go home and make a list of friends, 5 friends to pray for. Or perhaps you could go and either buy the book from the bookstore or go on to tenofthose.com and find a book that helps you learn an outline of how to explain the message of Jesus to people. Or buy one of the Gospels. Or buy 2. So you can stick them in your handbag or your rucksack and you say to your friend, why don't we read a chapter a week over a coffee? And give them a coffee. Maybe there's someone you want to talk to yourself about the good news and the impact it has on you. Servants of the King have a global mandate to bring people to Christ with his help. Let's pray. And let's spend a moment just in the quietness of our own hearts, bringing to God in our minds our thoughts, our reaction to his word. And while we do that, let me read the passage again. Then Jesus came to his disciples and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen.